Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, guys, we're back with another exciting episode of Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, brought to you by the Ambitious Radio Network. And guys, I am so excited. I have really just been working on getting this interview put together for a couple months now, and just getting schedules lined up and those types of things. Sometimes when you got busy people, it can be tough to make that happen. But we have a national consultant today on the interview with us. He is a multi-million dollar income earner. He's a purple jacket wearer, which means, for those that don't know, that means that he has made over $5 million in income with Ambit Energy. And in the pre-show interview, it's actually closer to about $9 million now. So he is really close to the next jacket. It'll be here before you know it. Thompson Leadership Award winner, the co-founders Leadership Council, as well as one of the founders of the EC Factory. Help me welcome Mr. Ray Monty. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Doug. I appreciate you having me on today, and I appreciate you being patient. And I know we've been both been busy, but I'm glad to be here. Thrilled, and I appreciate all you do putting this together.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, as always, you know, we're always looking to gain information. And I'm appreciative of the consultants that have made the investment in myself and in Ambit Nation. Just, you know, the Ambit is so different than so many other organizations out there. We all cross-pollinate and share. It's not just upline and downline. And it's just a great, great opportunity for us to package it up and share it with all the other Ambit consultants worldwide. So thanks so much for that. As we get started, you know, I always like to talk to folks and ask them a little bit about, you know, their start in Ambit and their why when they got started, and then what it is now and how has it transitioned over the years.
Well, that's a great question. I got started October 7th of 2007, so actually 8 years and 8 months ago today. At that point, Ambit was going to be my third network marketing company. Doug, the first two didn't exactly work out the way I thought they would. It was always wrong company, wrong timing, wrong upline, you name it, I had it. But I saw enough, and I did okay. I made a little bit of money, and I got some great experience and got to meet some great people, and one of them happened to be Brian McClure. So Brian had called me up, built a relationship with him in XL Communications, used to go out of his way to help me, although I wasn't part of his team, and I always appreciated that and had a lot of respect for Brian. So Brian called me up back in initially 2006 and asked me how many people I knew in Texas and what did I know about the deregulation of energy, and it was not a whole lot and just a few people in Texas, so it didn't do me a lot of good at the beginning. And as time passed on, he was pretty persistent and consistent to continue to share information with me. And over the course of 8 months, Doug, I met with Chris and Jerry on three separate occasions and finally got started October 7th of 2007. And, you know, as I sat down there that night, we always ask our new consultants to make a list of why they're doing this business. And, you know, I was no different than anybody else. A lot of it was financial back then. I wanted to get as far away from broke as possible. I didn't want to have to ever go and work for somebody else. I didn't want to have to worry about bills or being able to do things for families or charities of my choice. And, you know, big thing was to also have a dream house in the mountains. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, love the mountains, fell in love with Colorado many, 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 many years ago. And so, you know, my big why was financial freedom, to spend time with my family and to have that dream house up in the mountains. At that point, I thought it was going to be somewhere in Colorado. Now, it has definitely changed. I've been blessed and fortunate with this company and some of the great leaders on our team. And, you know, I live in Pennsylvania up in Lake Wallenpaupack on a lake, and recently purchased a home up in Jackson, New Hampshire. One of the reasons is because of the team that just took off up in Maine and New Hampshire. But the second reason was I found a house that I fell in love with, and it's 9 miles east of Mount Washington. The view is as good as anything I've ever seen. And to me, it's just, it's heaven on earth. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. The weather up there is incredible. If you like crazy weather, and you know, so my why's changed. My why now, after 8 years and 8 months in Ambit, is not about personal financial goals. It's more about helping the team. I feel very blessed to be part of this company at the time that I've been in it, and I feel like I need to go out there and be able to help people accomplish what I've accomplished and whatever their goals and dreams are, and help people get promoted to position themselves as senior consultants or executive consultants or national consultants, and also help our leaders get on the five-star trip. So now it's more about giving back. And I think a lot of times, you know, when you get started, it's about personal goals. And along the way, as you start achieving them, you start realizing that this thing is just so much bigger than just making some money for yourself. It's about helping a whole lot of other people, and the relationships and the friends that you're going to make out of this is priceless. So my why now is definitely to go out there and help other people get to where they want to be. And you know, that's a lot of fun. I mean, we get paid a whole lot of money to help people reach their goals.
Sure. You know, and one time that brings up a gentleman by the name of Paul Pogue, that he's a local construction guy, but has a $1 billion company. And he said one time at a meeting that there's a time to learn, there's a time to earn, and then there's a time to give back. And a lot of times that corresponds with your age, or it may be with your experience in a particular industry or whatever. But that reminds me of what he was saying. You know, you learn the business, and then you've earned in the business, obviously, you know, $9 million now. But now it's giving back, and you know, giving back to the other consultants and investing in those guys. So that's really, really just a great, you know, great to hear those things. Now, you know, you talk about, you know, your why had changed and some of the financial freedom and some of the other stuff you had done didn't quite work out like you hoped it would, but Ambit absolutely has just taken off and has. What I didn't realize was that for some reason in my mind, I thought you were one of those original, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 guys that got started in the very, very beginning. So you mentioned that Brian had followed up with you for a while. How long did it take of Brian following up with you before you actually got into the business? How many months was that?
Well, the first time he called me was in October of 2006, and that was more just a courtesy call to let me know that he was really excited. He planted some seeds back then, Doug, and you know, when he told me a little bit about Ambit, I didn't know anybody in Texas. I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I was living in New York at that time, so I knew 3 people in Texas. He was one of them, but he kind of, you know, I could tell he was excited, and so over the course of the next 5-6 months, he called me up one time and convinced me to jump on a plane in March of 2007 and come down and meet with Chris and Jerry, and I did, and yeah, I was really impressed. They were great guys. I fell in love with those guys as business people, as the type of people they were, and you know, I had a lot of respect. But initially, I passed on Ambit. That was 90 days before Ambit opened up in New York City. They opened up New York City in the Con Edison area, June 4th of 2007, and I passed. The reason I passed was I was with another company, and I was still pretty excited about it. I had personally just sponsored 4 or 5 new consultants, and I didn't feel comfortable after bringing them into the business to walk away and go to Ambit, although I did see the value of this company and the leadership in place. And then I met with Chris and Jerry a second time in person in September of 2007. They were actually doing an event in New York City, and Brian came up here, and so I went and met with Brian and had dinner with Brian again, and that kind of really got my interest. And you know, about a week later, I decided to jump on a plane and fly down to Dallas for the third time, and the third time to meet with Chris and Jerry and spend probably 2 or 3 days down there and really getting all my questions answered. So I wasn't one of the original. I came in about 14 months after the company started, and you know, listen, some people ask me if I regret not starting at the beginning, and you know, the timing just wasn't right for me. I wouldn't change a thing. I think it worked out the way it was supposed to work out, and got started October 2007. I can remember like it was yesterday. It was a Sunday night. I remember calling up Brian saying, well, Brian, I want to sign up tonight, and there was a football game on, and he said, why don't you just wait till tomorrow? You know, we'll get started first Monday morning. And, you know, I am definitely a person that is superstitious, and so I wanted to get started on the 7th. My birthday is the 7th. I'm my lucky number 7, and it's definitely been lucky in Ambit. So I started about 14 months after the company started.
You know, that's exciting. And the reason why I ask that is because, you know, I've found over the years that persistence wears out resistance. And so when you've got a great product or service or whatever the case is, it's funny. Green Eggs and Ham is a book that Dr. Seuss wrote, and everybody knows it. But I actually have this big picture in my office, and sometimes when I do my videos, you'll see it in the background. And I bought it, not because I'm a huge Dr. Seuss fan or I'm an art collector, but I was in San Francisco and we went in. It was the 50th anniversary. I go in there and this lady starts telling me all about this Dr. Seuss stuff, and it had a little room with all Dr. Seuss stuff in there. And it was the 50th anniversary again of Green Eggs and Ham. So she starts telling me the story about the book. And she talks about how he asks for the business about 50 times. You know, would you like it in a box? Would you like it with a fox? Would you like it on a plane? Would you like it with, you know, on a train? And he just, you know, continues to be persistent, be respectful. And at the very end of the book, he says, thank you, Sam I Am. I really do like Green Eggs and Ham. And I say that because, you know, it would have been easy for Brian to have given up on you. He didn't, though. He followed up with you for all those months, a little bit over a year. But for the consultants that are out there right now, that just because somebody tells them no, that doesn't mean no, never, you know, it just means no, not right now. So just be persistent, be respectful, you know, present it to them. And you never know when your next Ray Monty might be sitting out there on the sidelines and just waiting for the right opportunity for things to line up. Sometimes it can get a little frustrating, but you just want to hang in there and keep making it happen. So when it comes to your presentation, when you're talking to a new marketing consultant, or you bump into somebody, just a new potential marketing consultant, and someone sees you and they say, man, you've got a really nice house, or they say something, hey, what do you do? What does that conversation look like? Do you have a kind of a 15 or 20 second presentation or pitch that you say to folks what it is that you do now?
I do, Doug. I keep it real simple. I think, you know, if you keep it simple, it duplicates. If you keep it simple, it doesn't scare people off. And so if somebody asks me what I do, I always ask them, why do you keep your options open to making additional income? Now, the reason I like to ask that is that's a stupid question. 99.9% of the people that I ask that to say, of course. And then I go into our basic ambit, what I saw on Carlos Marin's DVD many, 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 many years ago. And I'll say, well, Doug, how many people, depending on the market I'm in, how many people do you know that use electricity? And everybody I know, do you think they'd like to pay less or get it for free? Of course. How would you like to make some serious income by referring free electricity? That'd be great. What do I need to do? And then I exchange cards. You know, I just don't give out business cards, because here's what I know with business cards. If I give them out to somebody, I got to hope that they call me. And most people will take your card and they never return. If I exchange business cards, they're going to get a call from me. So I like to keep it real simple. I like to ask questions that I know the answer to before I ask it. And usually by doing that, you know, I get the right answers. And if nothing else, they get a phone call from me. That doesn't mean they always come in, but it at least leads to a follow-up call and the potential to get them in a presentation. So I keep it real simple. I ask those four simple questions. Do you keep your options open to making more money? And again, depending on the market, if I'm in a market that's gas, I ask them how many people, you know, that use natural gas. If I'm in both gas and electricity, and do you think they like to pay less or get it for free? And how would you like to make some serious income by referring free energy? And those are the questions that I use. Those are the questions that have worked pretty well for me.
Great, great, great. And, you know, obviously you've been extraordinarily successful in this business, and I've seen how much you give back, whether it's at trainings and you know, the last couple of times I've seen you, you haven't felt 100%, but you're pressing through, and it's easy to, you know, to take your foot off the gas if you wanted to, but you keep pressing, and you're an inspiration for so many, making those things happen no matter what's going on. But what would you say is one of the things that's contributed most to your success over the years?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's probably two things, and I think one of the things you just hit on, you know, working hard. I mean, listen, if you're going to become a multimillionaire in network marketing, you're going to pay a price. And if anybody's telling you that this is easy and that this is fun and they're going to do all the work for you, that's just a lie. I mean, that doesn't mean we don't have people in this industry that happen to just step on or find the right person, and because they found the right person, their businesses blow up. But if you go look at the top income earners from top to bottom in Ambit Energy, they've all paid a price. They've all been out on the road. There's been times they've driven 3 or 4 hours and nobody shows up at a meeting, or they've gone to a meeting and the wrong people are there. And so I think a lot of it's just hard work. And that's the first thing. You know, I was, when I got involved in this, I walked walked away from another company. I had a no-compete clause because they'd given me a free vehicle. And so I called up the owner. I let them know I was leaving. They told me they're going to give me one more paycheck for the money I earned. And then moving forward at that point, I was on my own. And sometimes I think when your back is to the wall and you've got to create urgency, see a lot of people that come into this, it's a part-time thing or it's their second income or their third income. And I just don't see that kind of urgency. And, you know, one of the things that helped me was I had no choice. I had to get this going. And so because I had to get it going, I was willing to make sacrifices and work hard. And so that's one of the things that I've done to become successful. And then another thing is, you know, always become a student, always be learning, reading, you know, going to trainings, doing the best you can to make yourself better. And you know, there's certain books that I've read, there's certain trainings, and, you know, I've been blessed with some incredible mentors in network marketing. And, you know, it always comes back to the same thing, keeping it simple and finding the right people. And, you know, that's been a lot to my success, and definitely getting plugged in and getting your team plugged in, leading by example. Doug, one of the things I like to tell my team is when I go to bed at night, I always ask myself this is, if my team did what I did today, what kind of team would I have? And I think it's important that if you're going to be out there asking people to go out and show the plan and going to our big events and gathering customers and doing the things that we do, you need to lead by example. I just personally sponsored a new consultant here in the last couple of weeks. And as a national consultant, I get people all the time that ask me, do you still sponsor people? Absolutely. You know, in fact, one of my goals coming up here is to get another leg going, is to go get another good group of people and find some motivated people. It's a little bit different now. I'm a little pickier. You know, time is one thing that I realize that we can never get more of. No matter how hard we work and how much money we make, time is something that you can't replace. And so what I do now is I make sure that if I'm going to sponsor somebody, I'm looking for somebody that's committed. I'm really looking for somebody that I'm hopeful that I can help turn into a leader in this company and affect a whole lot of people's lives moving forward.
That is great stuff, and I love all these. I'm writing all this stuff down. I'm jotting down. Time is one of the things that we never get more of, guys. It doesn't matter how much money you got. Time is a great equalizer. There's 168 hours in every week, and it doesn't matter if you're a $5 million person in Ambit or just getting started as a marketing consultant. Either way, you've got 168 hours, so you've got to use those hours wisely and keep it simple. That's how you duplicate it. Keep it simple, it duplicates. So great stuff there. All right, so when it comes to objections, you know, there are always, you know, the good and the bad. And what we want to do in this call is really give information to people that they can apply. So you mentioned it earlier. If somebody's telling you, oh, it's easy, no problem, it's going to be great, that's just not how it is. But let's talk about some of the tough times. Let's talk about a situation where somebody throws out an objection to you and maybe you've gone through and you've talked to them first about becoming a consultant, and they kind of, you know, don't firm up on that. And they say, well, hey, at least be my customer. Like, well, I don't know. What's the number one objection you get when it comes to customer gathering? And then how do you transition through that or overcome that objection?
You know, Doug, I'm probably the worst person to ask that, and I'll be honest with you. I've got my customers early on. I went to friends, family, next-door neighbors, barber, accountant. I went to people that I had a relationship with, and I learned in the last network marketing company that it wasn't about going out there and selling. It was about relationship, and I've got 23 customers since I've joined Ambit. Six of them are my next-door neighbors, one's my barber, one's my accountant, and all of my customers did it not because of Ambit. They didn't do it because of great rates or travel rewards or anything like that. They did it because of the relationship that I have with them. You know, the fact that my barber has been cutting my hair for over 20 years, he's given me some bad haircuts, so I go back to him. So when I asked Richard to do me a favor, nothing changes, and try the service, he agreed to do it. My next door neighbors did it because when it snows, I usually help them clear their driveway or do it for them. And so National Grid, Con Ed's never done that for them. So I always make it about relationship. And, you know, guys, my customer gathering has not been based on sales. It's been based on relationship. My most recent customer was a neighbor up here in Pennsylvania. I just asked him to do me a favor, and he agreed. We share a driveway, and so I went and resealed the driveway. So that was pretty easy. The fact that I didn't, and he was willing to do it for me. So, you know, I know some of the objections you get with European customers is the rates, and I never got into rates. I never spent time on that. I went out there and kind of followed the strategy of gathering customers, of making it all about relationships. So, Doug, when I call you up, I ask you for help, and normally the response when I ask a friend, my accountant, my barber, for a favor is, sure, what do you need? And I just simply repeat it. If it won't cost you anything, it won't inconvenience you, absolutely nothing's going to change except you're going to save a little bit of money, would you do me a favor? And, you know, if they start asking questions, I repeat those things over and over and over again until I get a yes. Now, I know every market is different than Ambit, and the thing is, all of my customers are in New York or Pennsylvania, where we have a guaranteed savings. And what I know about those markets is, no matter what, they're going to pay a little bit less, nothing's going to change, so I made it about relationship. And, you know, guys, if you're going out there talking to strangers, it's going to be difficult to gather customers. If you're talking to people that you have relationships with, if you're talking to people that you're in business with, if you're talking to people that trust you, it's going to be a whole lot easier. And, you know, I see it all the time. I see people come into this business, and the first thing they do is they think we're selling gas or electricity. And they get on the phone, and they start quoting rates, and they start talking about free travel packages, and they don't gather any customers. And then all of a sudden, they call me up, and they start asking, what's going on? This isn't working. And I said, well, the problem is you're out there trying to sell electricity. Your friends and family know you know nothing about electricity. This is about relationship. And, you know, Doug, I learned early on, you know, the first network marketing company I was ever a part of was a company called XL Communications. And I remember the night before I joined, like everybody else, I like to try it and see what happens. And the first person I called was my mom. I'm her oldest son. I like to tell people I'm her favorite. And I tried to get my mom as a long-distance customer for XL. And I started talking about why she needed to switch and why she needed to change. And unfortunately, at that time, I had an ill grandmother, and the phone was very important for my mom to talk to my grandmom. And, you know, she didn't feel comfortable switching. And I called up the gentleman who was going to be my sponsor, and I said, man, I can't even get my mom to do it. This isn't going to work. And he told me, what did you tell her? And I said, well, I asked her about changing and switching. And he said, well, who told you to do that? And I said, isn't that what we do? He said, no, you're in the relationship business, right? Does your mom love you? I said, absolutely. Would your mom? Absolutely. He said, so why did you try to sell your mom long distance? And I learned real quick. A couple of days later, Doug, I called my mom back, and I made it about the relationship. And she didn't end up becoming a customer. She ended up becoming a consultant. And I learned early on that if I'm going to gather customers, this is about the relationship. And so that's how I've gathered customers, to be honest with you. I haven't gathered a lot of customers in the last couple of years because most of my time has been spent on building teams. And, you know, if you want to know the biggest, you know, the biggest thing we've got to overcome when it comes to building teams, it's usually time. A lot of times when I'm talking to somebody, it's a business owner, it's somebody that's got a full-time job, it's somebody that's married with kids, it's very active. What I find is busy people get things done. And so I like to approach people that are extremely busy. And, you know, the one thing I get is people don't have time, and I let them know, I understand that, but if time was not the issue, do you see something here? Of course, this is a great company. But Ray, like I said, I've got three kids, they're in sports, and, you know, I work 50 hours a week, so my time is limited. And so, Doug, what I like to do is I like to leverage their time. I like to let them know that, hey, I understand you don't have time, but I do have time. And like Brian McClure teaches, who can I go see on your behalf? If we can help you get started and gather a couple customers, and you can direct me in the right way and just call a few people that you know and tell them you found something you're extremely excited about, but you can't explain it, that your business partner, Ray Monty, will come and meet with them for lunch, then we can build a business. So to me, the biggest one I see is time. Sometimes it's belief level. It's either belief level and ambit. At that point, I need to make sure I get them the credibility. I need to show them the J.D. Powers, the Inc. magazine, the Success Remote magazine, and make sure I educate them on what an incredible company we have. And, you know, sometimes it's the individual. The individual just doesn't have belief in themselves, and, you know, that's a tough one. We can educate them. We can give them the tools. We can put them in the right direction to make them believe in themselves. And, in fact, we can go out there and help them have success. And so, you know, those are the things that I see is time, lack of belief in the company or a lack of belief in themselves. And, you know, we're able to overcome those by, you know, having them see that you are committed to their success, having them see your belief and commitment level. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, circling back to a point that I made, you asked me about my keys to success. One of them is definitely hard work, and the other one is belief in Chris and Jerry. You know, this is my third network marketing company, so I've been around a little bit. I've met different owners. I've met different CEOs and CMOs, and so one of the reasons I work so hard is I know what type of people Chris and Jerry, and even a step further, John Burke, I know who they are, and I know the type of company, what their goals were from the beginning, the fact that we're, you know, $1.5 billion company and continue to grow, and who they are. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that as leaders, we need to make sure people realize that we've got some of the greatest owners in not only in network marketing, but in all of business history, in my personal opinion.
You know, those are fantastic points that you brought up. And guys, if you're listening right now, you might be driving down the road. You might not be able to make notes on this, so you might want to go back and listen to it again. Or if you are sitting down where you can get a pen and paper out, get a pen and paper out. Write this stuff down. I mean, this is unbelievable. You talked about the objections from a customer standpoint. You know, the way you overcome objections is you get the right kind of customers, the ones that are your people that you know, love, and trust, and that know, love, and trust you. That takes a lot of the having to overcome an objection out of it to begin with. And, you know, as Ray mentioned here, you know, I think I heard you say one time you've got your 23 customers, but that when it comes to renewal time, you don't even really worry about it. They're your friends, family. They're going to renew. You're not having to chase down a whole bunch of stuff to make that happen. They're already there. They're people that you know, love, and trust. And then that belief in Chris and Jerry, you know, they say that the other side of the statement is, you know, the fish, you know, rots at the head. But the other side of it is that it does so well, that, you know, the speed of the leader, the speed of the team. And the leaders that we have are phenomenal men of integrity. They lead us in such a phenomenal way. And you don't have to question anything. I mean, it's a time-tested, the company's almost 10 years old now. And you hear Jerry talk about that we could have grown it even faster, but we didn't because we wanted to make sure we did everything the right way. So those are great points that you need to be able to first of all, know them, believe in it. And then number two, be able to articulate those same things to folks that might not have the belief, that haven't been exposed just yet to our guys. So that's great information. As we kind of continue through the interview, you know, when it comes to tipping points in your career, I know you mentioned you were with a couple of other network marketing companies, but you jumped into Ambit and it wasn't a part-time thing for you. It was full on right from day one. So was there a point where you got going and like, you know, you're like, this is actually going to work? Or was it from day one you just knew it and it was good? Or you got a few months into it or a year or so into it and then it's like something happened that you're like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
Well, it was the first couple of months. You know, Doug, I got involved in October of 2007, and, you know, a lot of the people that were in the network marketing company that I was in prior to this, they were in other states. And so I had to start new. You know, a lot of people think when you come from a network marketing to one network marketing company that all you do is bring your team with you. And to be honest with you, I didn't have that luxury. Ambit was in Texas and New York City, and a lot of my team in the last company I was with was in Oregon or Arizona or North Carolina. And I was honest with people. If you don't know anybody in Texas or New York City, you need to stay where you're at. So I went out there, and, you know, it sounded good, and I started to think that I had something pretty special here. And I remember, you know, talking to Brian all the time, and we were talking about income, and, you know, I signed up October 7th of 2007, and, you know, the biggest month I ever had in network marketing up to that point after 11 years was about $21,000. And December of 2007, my second full month in the business was over $25,000. And the second thing that happened was I became an executive consultant in 60 days. I signed up October 7th. December 7th, I was an executive consultant. And one of the things that wasn't so exciting was the success that I was having. I was having more success early on than I ever had in 11 years with two other companies. And both of those companies were in all 50 states, England, Canada, and Puerto Rico. And so to have that kind of success in Texas and New York City, and I lived in a market where I was 55 miles outside of New York City. I couldn't be my own customer. but we saw in just a small area the kind of success that we had. And then the second thing, and to me, the reason I love Ambit more than anything else, listen, I'm thrilled the money they send me, but what I'm more thrilled about is the thousands of people on my team who are having success. And, you know, the last company I was with, when I started going through my organization and downline report, what I realized is the majority of people on my team were spending $300, $400, $500 a month in product to get a $17 check. And at the end of the year, if you're spending $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 to make $500, that's a business that needs to be shut down at some point. What I love about Ambit Energy is literally I've got thousands of people on my team who are spending $24.95 a month on their website and making $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 in residual income or bonuses or free gas or free electricity. And I think one of the things that really struck me was I have a gentleman on my team, thank God, for a guy by the name of Norbert Hennessy. And Norbert was kind of the first pearl that joined my team. He was more excited about Ambit than I was. And Norbert and I were not part of the same team. We had the same upline in the last company, but we didn't work together. And in 4 years in the last company, Norbert had 14 consultants on his team. Doug, in Ambit Energy, he became a senior consultant in 13 days. He became an executive consultant in 5 months. And so one of the things that hit me and one of the things that made me really realize how special this is some of the people that were on my team who had been involved in network marketing before, who had very little success, if any, and all of a sudden they're coming over here and their businesses are blowing up. And I think it was because of what we had in place with Energy and Chris and Jerry and also some learning experiences. And, you know, so along the way, as I started to see other people having success and the type of income that they were generating without having to go out there and spend $300 a month on products, I started to realize that we had something pretty special here.
Sure, there's no question about it. And I love hearing these stories about people hitting, you know, SC and EC so quickly, because it's possible, guys. I mean, it you can get out there and it's just, you know, making it happen, building your team. And it really is great to hear these stories of these successes. And that's why we're doing this show, is to let you know about other people's successes, so that if you don't have them just yet for yourself, that you can borrow the success stories of some of the other leaders that are here within the organization. Now, as we kind of switch and transition just a little bit on this, we've talked a lot of things that are very Ambit specific, but let's just talk about folks that have made maybe an impact on your life. You talked about having some mentors. So, you know, who are some of the folks that have mentor to you, and what's maybe one of the best pieces of advice that you've received?
Well, I mean, the first one's easy. It's Brian McClure. You know, people hear me talk about him all the time. I've known Brian now for almost 20 years, and it was kind of a fluke meeting between me and Brian. He was in Excel, I was in Excel, and he was actually coming to Long Island, New York to do a training for another group, another team, and I knew nothing about that training. But what happened was the guy that was doing the training got stuck in traffic, and I get a phone call on a Friday night asking me to go pick up Brian, and I did. And he said, well, now you can come to the training, and I got to go meet Brian the next day, and a friendship developed. And, you know, he's just he talked me through some tough times in that company. He's always guided me. And so, you know, for 11 years, he was a mentor that never made a penny off me. So it's nice to be in his organization. And, you know, I'm continuing to learn. You know, he's kind of in a different mode right now. You talked about it. I think you said learn, earn, and then give back. And, you know, Brian's one of the biggest givers with his ranch. And so I'm starting to transition to that. I'll be honest with you. I love the grind and being out there in the field and working. And so kicking back a little bit is tough for me. But Brian's always talking about recharging the battery. So Brian is one. Another gentleman is a guy who is the number one income earner in XL Communications that I had the pleasure of spending some time with, a gentleman by the name of Paul Orr. Paul had 15 consecutive months of $1 million in earnings. He made over $40 million in 7 years. At one point, opened up his own company. And I got to spend time with Paul. And, you know, here's a guy that's one of the all-time greats in network marketing. And, you know, so he's had a big impact on my life. And just watching the way he dealt with certain situations. And, you know, I continue to learn from Ryan. Unfortunately, Paul had passed away a couple years ago. But, you know, if I had to pick the two people that had the biggest impact, it would definitely be them. And, you know, one of the things that Paul told me that I always teach my team is I got to spend some time with them, and I asked them one night, you know, what's the key to your success? If you could give me one piece of advice or words of wisdom, what would it be? And, you know, Doug, he looked at me and said, Ray, you want to make a big time in this business? You need to go find people that want it worse than you do. And, you know, I think that's the one thing I always tell people. You know, if I look at my business and I look at the people that have had success in my business, it's usually because one, two, or three people have joined their team that have just gone out there and just made a huge impact that want it really, really, really bad. And so I got that from Paul. The second thing he told me is if you're going to travel to the moon, you're going to travel light. And what that means to me is, listen, I can't make everybody be a millionaire in Ambit Energy. I can help a whole lot of people, but I'm going to find a handful of people that are just really, really committed, that are really, really good people, and that's where I need to put a whole lot of my time in. And so those two things have resonated with me. Listen, I'll help anybody that calls me for a three-way call, but where I'm going to spend the majority of my time, where I'm going to travel to and really set up shop is with the people that really want it as bad as I do. And you know, you'll find out pretty quick how bad they want it. Are they willing to register for Ambition? Are they willing to go to trainings 3, 4, 5, 6 hours from home? Are they on the conference calls? Are they on the web trainings? Are they calling you for help? And if you work with those people, boy, Ambit's a whole lot of fun.
No question about that. And you mentioned Ambit, Ambition. And guys, you know, corporate tells us that folks that attend Ambition make 70% more income than those that don't. And there's a reason for that. Those are the people that are engaged. So as you know, you may be listening to this at a later date, but we do have Ambition 10. Ambition X is coming up here just in a couple of months at the end of August. And so if you're not registered for that, go register right now. All the leaders that I talk to, if you're not registered for Ambition, you're not even serious about Ambit Energy. I mean, it is basically a requirement. There's attendee-only bonuses, but this is going to be the biggest, baddest, best ever. And you will absolutely be missing out if you are not there. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Ray, because it's just a huge opportunity to mingle with other leaders and really hear the success stories firsthand and see a group of other people and to fellowship with everyone. And it's just such a great, great opportunity. I've been the last several years, and I can't wait until this next one pops up here. So we are nearing kind of the end of the show. We've probably got a handful of more questions, so we'll kind of get through these, and I'll blast through the questions, but you don't have to blast through the answers. Take your time if you want to expound on anything. But when it comes to just generally some of the things that you're working on and those types of deals, and you process through it. Are there, I know that you're heavy in Ambit, but do you have any other projects that you're working on right now that are Ambit related or otherwise?
You know, Doug, that's a great question. We're in June right now, and I'm doing some stuff outside of Ambit, and here's why. You know, what I've learned in 20 years in network marketing is everything goes through cycles, and you start learning when it's time to really crank it up and when it's time to recharge the batteries. And, you know, right now where I sit, I'm not working on a promotion. I'm a national consultant, so, you know, that pressure's kind of off. Working on getting to the next jacket, which, you know, to be honest with you, somebody asked me last week, I don't even know what color the 10 million. I thought it was blue, but I found out that's the 15 million. So working on that, and that's just going out there and working hard. Yeah, what I'm working on right now is really working with some of our leaders. We've made some personal goals on how many executive consultants we're going to produce in 2016. So, you know, doing a lot of calls with some of our SCs who are on their way to executive consultant. And then the second thing I'm doing is I'm working with the team trying to get certain people on the 5-star trip. You know, to me, when I can get leaders on a 5-star trip and they can spend time with Chris and Leslie and John and Faith and Jerry and Carolyn and kind of see who the owners are of the company, and also, you know, people like Daryl and Eric, you know, they get to see the corporate side. They get to see what an incredible company we have. So right now I'm spending a lot of time, like I mentioned earlier, I'm trying to get a new leg going. And, yeah, I'm going to enjoy my summer. I'm going to work hard during the summer. I'm going to focus on the people that are asking me for help, who are trying to achieve some of those goals. I'm going to continue to prospect and build new legs. But one of the things I'm trying to do is to take care of myself and get healthy and make sure I clear all the things that I need to clear off my schedule, you know, paying bills, things around the house, vehicles, anything like that, because when I get back from Ambition 2016 after Labor Day, I want to be laser focused to go on a run from then to about Thanksgiving, where I'm on the road, boom, 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 doing meetings and out there meeting people. And just so that's kind of what I'm working on right now. You know, we're always doing new things. I've got some great people, Rob and Michelle Utter, that I work with, and we're always trying to figure out some new things that we can do to help the team. But, you know, right now it's about timing. You talked about it, Ambition 2016, our 10-year anniversary. Our co-founders have publicly stated this will be the biggest one ever. And, you know, I'm excited. I have no idea what they're going to announce. I mean, I'll be honest with you, this is one of the first times since I've been in Ambit that I could not tell you anything that they're going to announce. But I can tell you they're working on a lot of things. I can see the reaction from Eric and Darryl on how excited they are. And here's what I know, Doug. When you work hard during the summer and you position yourself for what happens in the fall, it's amazing. So, you know, now is the time to be planting your harvest. Now is the time to be planting seed after seed after seed, making sure you're encouraging people to get registered for Ambition and helping people get promoted and helping people. You know, that's one thing I know. I know there's going to be some things going on down at Ambition for SCs and above and ECs and above. So it's about putting people in position to really have success. And that's kind of what I'm focused on, you know, the next 85 days until Ambition 2016.
That makes perfect sense. It really does. And you mentioned things go in seasons. There's ebbs and flows. And you talk about giving 110% to something. And the reality is you have 100% to give. And, you know, you've got to go in the cycles. And like right now, there's triple bonus going on right now. It makes a lot of sense to lay down the groundwork, get people registered for Ambition, make sure that they're able to take advantage of these great promotions that are going on, and plant the seeds. You reap what you sow, and you reap more than what you sow. It's a biblical principle. It's very straightforward. And you get out there and you plant these seeds, and they may not all sprout today, but then you plant them over the next 85 days, as you say, and then you call them back after Ambition if they haven't already signed up, and you can just talk about all the great stuff that's going on. And sometimes you have to plant the seed, then it has to be watered, then it has to be fertilized, and eventually it flowers and then produces the crop. So sometimes it can take a little bit of time to do that. It's great, great advice. So a couple other things real quick here. You mentioned some books, some great books to read. So tell me a little bit about and it can be books just for Ambit consultants or just any other book that helps you as a person, but are there a couple books that you really recommend or gift to people from time to time?
There is. You know, a book that I was told early on to read was Your First Year in Network Marketing by Mark Yarnell. And, you know, Doug, I signed up in Excel Communications December 1st, 1996. And within 26 days, I had 50 people on my team. I had promoted twice. Within 90 days, I had 250 people on my team. And, you know, we always look at that chart, three who get three. And within 26 days, I'd personally sponsored 13. And, boy, everything was just coming easy. And, you know, I was doing the math on 13 who get three. And I started looking to see which island I was going to buy and all my yachts and boats and planes. And I thought it was the easiest thing I've ever seen. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, I start realizing, man, how come these people aren't doing what I'm doing? What's going on here? And, you know, start realizing it wasn't how many people I put in the business. It was how many people that I got to duplicate and do what I did. And somebody referred the book, Your First Year in Network Marketing by Mark Yarnell. And, you know, that was my first network marketing company. I didn't have much upline support, so it kind of just really let me know, hey, this is not easy. And I remember reading that book, and, you know, they talk about different types of people and different scenarios. And what I loved about that book was it didn't sugarcoat things. It kind of told me what I was up against. And so, you know, to me, that was a good one. Another book I absolutely love is a book called The Prayer of Jabez, and it's by Bruce Wilkerson. And you know, somebody sent that to me, I'm going to say probably 8 or 9 years ago, and it was somebody that I had, you know, a sort of a relationship with. I didn't really know too well, and so he sent me that book, and I called him up and said, what is it you're sending me? He's like, right, just do me a favor and read that book. And, You know, I read that book, and it just had such an incredible impact on my life. I've referred it to a lot of people, and I watched the results from people. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if we ask for certain things and we go out there, God wants us to be successful. So, you know, that's a book that's had a big impact, and I always referred, and I've probably given it out, oh, I can't tell you how many times. And, you know, because a lot of people just don't think they're worthy of success. And so, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about people not having belief level, and you know, so I think that's a good book. Those are the two that come to mind. There are some other books that I read, but it, you know, the ones that I prefer the most frequent, it's definitely those two.
Cool. So the last question that I have before we just talk about a little bit of recharging and wrapping up is, you know, we often talk about the good times, right? And there are tremendous good times. However, we're always going to go through a little bit of rainy days. If it was sunshine every day, we'd live in a desert. So if you could, can you share just one time in Ambit Energy over the past several years that was just a difficult time for you, and that you thought, man, I don't know about all this, and how you got through that. So what it was, and then how you got through it.
Well, that's a great question, Doug. You know, probably 2014. I mean, listen, if you were in Ambit Energy in 2014, you know we went through the polar vortex up here in the Northeast, and it was tough. I mean, up from 2006 through 2014, I don't think there could be a more perfect network marketing company than Ambit. It seems like everything went our way. So in 2014, when the polar vortex hit, especially up here in the Northeast, and the rates started doubling and tripling and quadrupling, and you know, all kinds of things, and it was nothing that Chris and Jerry could control. It was totally out of their hands. But we had been in such a sweet spot for such a long time that when 2014 came, and all of a sudden we started running into challenges, and watching people, you know, lose faith and quit on the company and give up on their hopes and dreams. And listen, here's what I know. Any business that goes from zero to $1 billion in a short period of time is going to have growing pains, and then we go from $1 billion to $2 billion. You know, I've been in business before, so I understand there's, as you said, ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, ups and downs. And so 2014 was a tough year. It was a tough year for me personally. It was a tough year because, you know, things were just blowing up, and all of a sudden we kind of had our first little speed bump here in Ambit Energy, and I watched people, you know, pull back, and I watch people quit, and you know, it was tough when you go and build relationships with people and work with people, and then all of a sudden they're doubting not only the company, but they're doubting you. And so, you know, what I realized is I can't save the world. I see Ambit a certain way. I totally believe in Chris and Jerry, and you know, they got us through it. And when I look back on it, you know, there's other network marketing companies who are in the energy industry who they didn't even make it through those times. They send out emails to the entire company that they're going out of business. Well, not only did Chris and Jerry guide us through 2014, we were profitable in 2014, but when you're in the middle of it and people that you have built relationships with are losing faith and losing trust and quitting and going to do other things, it can be real tough. And you know, sometimes you need to reevaluate and really, you know, do some soul searching. So I went through that in 2014. I'll be honest, I didn't want to go to Ambition that year. I was frustrated. We got hit really hard up here in New York, and you know, how did I get through it? Well, I believed in Chris and Jerry. I believed in myself. I believe there's a reason that I'm in this company, and I just got refocused. And going into 2015, decided to go out there and work harder than I've ever worked before. And if people want to sit on the sidelines, or if people want to quit and go do something else, that's their prerogative. I can't force them to see what I see. And I went out there and started finding some new people. And you know, 2015 was the biggest year I ever had in network marketing by far. And you know, I was blessed early on in January of 2015 with a couple by the name of Tim and Sonia Devine. They came in on my fourth level, and you know, they've just been an absolute joy to work with. They're about to qualify for their third consecutive five-star trip, cover of two Success Rebel magazines, Pure Energy. And you know, so you go through tough times. You're going to go through tough times where people don't show up at meetings and people will break your heart. You know, Doug, one of the things I like to tell my team all the time, especially my leaders, is the best thing about this business is the people. The worst thing about this business is the people.
Yeah, that's, people sometimes will let you down. But again, in this business, people are what makes it happen also. And you just got to keep on trucking. And I appreciate you sharing that because it's tough. And I know you're one of the leaders in everybody looks up to you. And, you know, if you've gone through some hard times, other people will go through hard times. But I want them to listen to this and say, hey, look, you press through it. You keep on trucking. You get some new people going. And, you know, you mentioned Tim and Sonya Devine. I mean, hey, that's somebody drops on your fourth level and have been absolute just on fire, full of energy for this business. And that's just some. And that was in, you said in 2014 or 2015 they came in the business.
They came in January of 2015.
See, look at that. I mean, you know, just about the time, you know, 14 was wrapping up, and then 15, and here you go, and these guys have just knocked it out of the park. So, I know you're hard charging. I know that you are that prototypical type A personality. You are just full speed ahead. But whenever you are trying to recharge, what do you do to kind of get your energy back, whether it's vacation or those types of things? What do you do to recharge?
Well, a lot of times just downtime. You know, you heard me talk earlier about New Hampshire, and I realize, and me and Brian McClure, this conversation, you know, he's got his Pecan Bluff down there where he spends time with family, and he likes to fish. I like to sit there and look at the mountain. I love the outdoors. I love to, you know, be able to just veg out up there and relax and think. As I'm talking to you, I'm in Pennsylvania, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and I am looking outside at the lake right now. My butt is back at the gym. I like to go work out. Usually when I go to the gym, I shut the phone off and listen to music, and it gives me a little bit of downtime. The other thing, Doug, is I need to be motivated just like everybody else. Like, you know, you're always thinking of what do you want to do next? What are you trying to accomplish? And so helping people, you know, setting goals but I enjoy the outdoors. I love the snow, which a lot of people find weird, but I love being outside in the snow. And the place I got up in Jackson literally is 9 miles from Mount Washington, where they say they've got the worst weather on the world. And to me, there's nothing better than sitting out on the back deck with a few friends or family members, having a couple beers, and, you know, thinking about the fact that I've got this beautiful location, which in my opinion is the nicest view, one of the nicest views I've ever seen. And I was able to accomplish that by gathering a few customers and finding other people who want to make money. I'm also a big sports fan. I absolutely love sports, and it's funny, we did a training in Cheshire, Connecticut this Saturday, and, you know, Chris Atkinson, who's just an incredible leader in my opinion, I've watched Chris come a long way, and he gave an incredible speech. I mean, he just killed it. But one of the things he talked about was not watching TV and how they don't turn the TVs on. And it was pretty funny because 15 minutes later, I'm talking about watching Steph Curry in the NBA Finals. So I kind of told Chris ahead of time. I said, hey, I don't want to contradict what you said, but I enjoy watching sports. I'm a huge, huge football fan. Unfortunately, I'm a Dolphins fan, and that hasn't gone too well lately. But I also enjoy college football, and so I always try to plan my ambit business around going to a college game or a pro game. And, you know, Doug, one of the things I was fortunate enough to do was to go to the NCAA championship game a couple months ago between Alabama and Clemson. So to answer your question, I love the outdoors, I love the mountains, I love nature, and I love sports and preferably football.
That is great stuff. Well, the last question I'll ask you is, if you could go back to any point in your life and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? What time of your life was it, and kind of what were you doing at that time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think to have more fun. I think it's important that we have fun. You know, I it's hard for me to say work harder because I am, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I could work much harder in this business because I love it. But I think to have fun and don't take yourself always so serious. You know, I'm starting to do that a little bit more. In fact, next week, Coach Alan Johnson is coming up here. We're going to be shooting the cover of Success from Home magazine, and then I'm taking Coach up to New England with me, and we are going to have our cocktails with Coach on a Friday night, have some of our leaders up there. And so I think to not always take things so serious and have fun. Life is short, and you know, making money is great, but building relationships and spending it with the right people. You know, I've met some incredible people in this business. I don't want to start naming him. I named Coach because he's going to be up here next week. And, you know, it's important that we not only celebrate our success, but celebrate our relationships and be able to spend time and do certain things. So I think that would probably be the one thing that I would do is, hey, relax, take a deep breath, and go have some fun.
You know, that is really great information. I appreciate you so much. And I know with all the comments that we get on ambitiousradio.com and all the feedback about the leaders and all the content that you guys are pouring in, everyone is so appreciative. So I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of the hearts of all of our listeners. We really appreciate you carving out time to invest in us. And really just thanks so much for that, Ray.
Doug, my pleasure. You know, it's funny because I'm sitting here and this interview flew by, and one of the reasons it did is you do a great job doing the interview. I mean, I'm listening to some of your comments and I'm trying to jot down notes. It was an absolute pleasure to be on here with you. Anything I can do to help you out, I appreciate your leadership, and I know how much work you put into putting these on, and look forward to seeing you get promoted as an EC here soon. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And guys, remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.